A word to the men. Starting at Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your great grace, your tremendous mercy, your incredible patience, your loving kindness, and your amazing love. Thank you for what you do for us daily when we put our trust in you, how you take care of us. Thank you for the gift of your word and the gift of your Holy Spirit and for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and loved us, showed that he loved people, died on the cross to take our sins away, and rose again. Thank you. Lord, in our lives here, with all that's going on with our needs, help us to realize we can trust you day after day, that you want to carry not only our burdens, but at times to carry us as well, when we cannot carry ourselves. And Lord, again, for special needs, special concerns, even here in our midst, for your powerful mercy and your great grace to be at work, whether it's physically or emotionally or spiritually. Lord, for your great mercy. For those who are away from us, for your watching over them, taking care of them. Thank you for that. Lord, again, as we come to your word, help us to understand, open the eyes of our hearts by your Spirit. I pray for each of us here. Lord, for those who, because I don't know every person here, I don't know their hearts, you do. For those who have put their trust in you, Lord, for a special help this time, and to the men especially, and Lord, for any here that aren't sure of their relationship with God, aren't sure what will happen to them after this world is over or after death, you would help them to be sure. So I pray for them. So Lord, again, for your help, for your word, we thank you. We honor it, Lord. Help us to understand and to live according. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, just one thing of humor before we start this. Since it's Father's Day, the father of five children was the one who won a toy at a raffle. He called the kids together to ask them who should have it. He said, "All right, now, who's the most obedient? Who never talks back to mother? Who does what she says?" And almost in unison, the kids answered, "Okay, Dad, you can have it." All right. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. There are contrasts here, and there are choices. There's two possibilities, and there's two promises. Now, promise doesn't have to be good to be a promise, but it's a promise nonetheless, depending on the choices. But the psalmist, David, was just, I think, so clear, inspired by the Holy Spirit in writing this, to make it just easy, easy to get a hold of, which is good for us. Blessed is the man, it says. Blessed, God's favor, his goodness, the evidence that his goodness is upon a person's life. It's not that everything goes always as you want it, but realizing that no matter what, God is there. And he's at work and he's at help. He's helping. Blessed, Hebrew word, covers a lot of territory. But blessed is the man on this. So, contrasts, choices, two possibilities, two promises. He starts right off the bat with the possibilities. It's like a one goes this way, contrast, the other goes that. You just heard it in the reading of it. Blessed is the one who, but then the one who does not. It's like a fork in the road. And as the old New York Yankees famous catcher Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Almost a quote. The fork in the road here. So he wants to show how a man can enter into this walk with God in a good way. But he's got to show the contrast. And so he shows the contrast in the negative sense to begin with. So that's why he can say, blessed is the man who does not. So let's look at these who do not. Because what he takes us into, who walks not, who stands not, who sits not, is a spiral. A spiral that just kind of goes downhill. So, blessed is the man who walks not. So, to walk, this is just, you're on the move, you're going in a direction, you have a place you want to go. It's movement, progression. Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Counsel, very simple. Wisdom, advice, instruction. And the ungodly is a general term. It basically means individuals of whom God is not important. They might not even say God is real or not. It doesn't matter whether God's real or not. He's just irrelevant to life. It's not important. His word's not important. His ways aren't important. You know, this is real life. That's for old grandmothers and little babies, this religious God stuff, because they want to deal with real life. The ungodly doesn't have to be a person who's just terrible, a life that was in a gutter existence. Ungodly is just a person. The fool in his heart says, no. There is no God, but there is this left out. So the fool in his heart says, no, God. So you can take that two ways. There's no God or no God. Counsel the ungodly. So think advice, wisdom. I don't know who's popular now. No. Used to be Dr. Phil, Oprah. Take your pick who's out there. I'm not even sure these days because I don't look at it. You know, all these advisors that are taking care of people's lives. But God isn't a part of it. Oh, they may be religious. They may use some God talk at times. But as far as importance, God is not. That's ungodly. Doesn't have to be an evil person. Can be a very good person, but God isn't important in their life. Just not important at all to life. So blessed is the man who does not walk according to, go in the direction of, listen to, catch their ear, the counsel of the ungodly, because it gets worse. Because if you do that, from making progress or direction, activity, motion, walking, you come to the next, which is standing. And that's exactly what it says. Who does not stand in the path of sinners. And we start going downhill because once you're tired of walking, you just kind of stand. And so from making direction, and depending on how you choose that direction, you could at least choose your way out of it. This is the second step down. Stand. The one who just sort of stops there. And notice, it's in the path of sinners. You might have way. This is a practiced way, a well-worn path. This is not having to pick your way through where it looks like nobody's gone before. This is a path. Many have gone. The way, the path. And the term he uses, sinners, takes us downward from ungodly, because now it's not just somebody who in life God is not important. Doesn't matter if God is, this is now somebody who's more actively, okay, if there's a God, it's not only I don't care, I will flaunt myself in that regard. I will take it to the next step. It's interesting that in the activity and direction of our lives, we move somewhere. This is, the path is not a super 8-lane highway, but it's not a dusty back country road, a beaten path. And the ungodly don't know, put it this way, ungodly, the distinction. The ungodly don't know, but sinners just simply don't care. They have progressed along the way of their life and their lifestyle, and it does not matter. So this is downhill, to go through this quickly. Because the third in this, if you see at the end of verse 1, you now come to a sitting position. So a person who's made motion, active, stand, and now they sit. Now they take a seat in, they become comfortable in this, but it goes further. In the seat of the scornful. So you go right back to Romans chapter 1, where Paul writes of those who not only were guilty of all kinds of incredible, immoral, sinful lifestyles, but as if that was not enough, they have to get others to join them in that as well, too, to join in, even though they know that payday is coming someday. But that doesn't matter, because they are now scornful. It is from not knowing to not caring to the person who would shake their fist in the face of God in a defiant, rebellious, obvious way. And oh, there are those people around, even today, who just, they're beyond. And again, it has nothing to do with intelligence, or you can find some of the most intellectually stretching writing out there by some scientists who, by the things they say, are just like shaking their fist in God, in God's face. It's there. But it's a downward spiral, a downward progression. The one who does not walk in this, who comes to not stand, because after a while you get comfortable in it, and it's sit. So that's negative. But like I said, it's contrast here. Two possibilities. So blessed is the man. Well, if it's nothing of that, then positively, what is it? And he's very simple. He actually puts it in one verse, verse 2. It's where it all begins. Psalm 1 is also, besides in and of itself, amazing. It's also the key to the rest of the Psalms. So these things you'll have over and over again in the rest of the Psalms. Might be why the Holy Spirit had David put it first. Because in the positive way, one thing. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, or in his law, he meditates day and night. So let's take that backwards, because a lot of you who are out in the ranch or familiar with, you know the meditation. It's not sitting with your legs folded like you're a pretzel, going, staring at a crystal. It is what cows do with their multiple stomachs, who go out and chew the cud, swallow, and then bring it up again to chew and get more nourishment out of it and swallow. And on it goes. Right? Am I correct in that? Cows have multiple stomachs and they chew the cud, and that is the Hebrew word meditate. Meditate. So it's not just I'm thinking about this. It's like I've got it. It's in me. Oh, and at times it comes back out and I think about it some more. And then it goes back down. And at times it comes back out and I think about it some more. I said, let's take this backward. But on his law, God's law, his word, it's one of the seven or eight words in the Hebrew, which has to do with the word of God. On his law, he meditates day and night. His delight, though. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the word of God. Delight. And the key is delight. And that's the tough part. Because sometimes the word of God can be to a man like taking medicine. Sometimes it's like doing a duty. But you want to turn that medicine and a duty into a time of, I can actually have a delight in it. Delight. That's the key. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Hey, I put myself up for as much failure in this as anyone about the delight. No, to delight. Like one pastor advised me a long time ago, you know, how do you build the delight in something? You have to get past making it feel like it's medicine, past making it feel like it's a duty. Just get into it more and more until it starts to become a delight. And I found his words, and they were the delight of my soul. The psalmist would write later on, where it's a delight. His delight is in the word of God, the law of the Lord. Now, so there, that's it. One verse, that's it. Contrast, fork in the road. Can't do both at the same time because it's a fork in the road. Listening to the counsel or the wisdom or the advice of the ungodly, because that's where it starts, or listening to the counsel and the wisdom and the advice of the Word of God and having a delight in that. Core. Now, the contrast, the possibilities, and a lot of the rest of this are the promises. Promises. Because the one whose delight, who takes the path of the Word of God, the man, there's a promise. And if you look at the next verse, 3, that kind of individual has some stability in his life because he is planted like a tree, not like a flower in your garden. He's planted like a tree. Do you know how deep a tree's roots go? We had a tree about that size in part of our backyard planted near a fence. And that was the trunk of it, long trunk. And the bugs were killing it. And I just, you know, tried systemic and bug killer and powder and stuff. And I think the bugs just, the ants just sort of laughed as they made their way through it all. And it just was slowly dying. So I decided one time to put it out of its misery. And it was more than just cut it down. I had to dig the whole thing up and chop at it from the roots. That was a job that I would now have likely hired out to somebody else. But he's planted like a tree. By rivers of water, even better, with nourishment, brings forth its fruit in season. I don't know what the season of a man is. Season. Brings forth fruit in a season. But even apart from fruit, there's a freshness because it says, and even its leaves won't wither up and shrivel and dry. Even the leaves will be fresh. The green that's on there, even past the point of whatever the season of the fruit is, brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Now, I am not a this is your best life now kind of guy. Whatever his name is from the big mega church in Texas. As one pastor said, if he honestly thinks this is your best life now, wow, for a person who doesn't know Jesus Christ and hasn't trusted him, this is your best life now, because 1 second after this over, everything else gets worse. For the Christian, no matter what happens in this life, however bad it gets, this is your worst life now, because 1 second for the follower of Jesus, after life is over, everything starts to get better.
Hallelujah.
So, this is not whatever he does prospers. It's not the name it, claim it. It's not the say it, take it. It's not any of that. It's not even saying that everything that you touch your hand to, you will have a spiritual Midas touch, and it will turn to spiritual gold. This is just a general, because that man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, right there, God gives him parameters. God gives him boundaries. And so he's kind of not going to want to get into the stuff that will damage him and damage others. And it's the grace of God. It is the grace of God. So this is not a, and whatever he does. I mean, this is going back to Joshua chapter 1, where God told Joshua about having his word, I can't remember it now, and obeying it and following through with it, and then whatever you do, according to the boundaries and what the word says, you will prosper. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's all I can remember. It's part of Joshua 1:8. It's an old song. Anyhow, this man. So let's contrast again. I said another promise. Not every promise is good. You mothers know that. If you do that again, you will, and then you fill in the blank. And it's not a threat. It's not a vow. It's a promise. Right? Well, maybe you never had children like that. Promise, verse 4 and on. 4 and 5, because the ungodly are not so. They are not. They are not so like that. But like the chaff, the husks, the leftovers, the chopped up stubble, which is really not even good for anything to come along and chew on because it's nutritionally dead. It's a filler at best. Enough so that the wind can just... That's what it says. Chaff. They are like that. The wind drives away. There's no stability. There's no freshness. Dead, useless, helpless, hopeless. Now, David's going to tackle the idea later on, or one of the other psalmists later on in the Psalms, about how come the ungodly can just prosper? You know? They grow large with their wealth and everything else. It's tackled in the Psalms. And people who have nothing to do and even scornful of God, it looks like their way is they're doing just fine. They're the rich and the famous. They're the powerful. But generally, the ungodly, I'll get back to that, but like the chaff. Well, no, let's pick up that thought right there because it goes into verse 5. When it comes to the judgment, and I think that's at the end. For it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. To actually have to stand before God and give an account of life, the judgment, the ungodly will not stand there. Whatever they think they can use as arguments will fall flat in the face of the glory of God. They will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor in that final congregation of the righteous. Righteous through Jesus Christ, righteous through Him. And the final congregation of the righteous will be in heaven. That's the final congregation of the righteous. All together. All at one place, at one time, forever. But they won't stand, they won't be a part of that either, the ungodly. Why? Because verse 6, the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Shall, eventually. Eventually. Maybe it won't be in this life, but eventually shall. That's an addendum. That's an added in section. But it's there because basically the idea is because the Lord knows. That's the main part of the sentence. The Lord knows. He knows the righteous. He knows the ungodly. He knows the way of the righteous. And He knows the way of the ungodly where it ends. So, getting back to the start. So, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. There's just so much else, you know. He could say, blessed is the man who, and then he's just sort of jumped down to the start of verse 2. He could say, blessed is the man who has an incredible trust in God. He could say, blessed is the man who does, in God's sight, mighty and righteous things. He could say, blessed is the man who has a wonderful knowledge of Scripture. Blessed is the man who has an amazing prayer life. Blessed is the man who is courageous and bold with the Word of God. He doesn't say any of that. He doesn't say any of that. He just starts so simply, blessed is the man who has a delight in the Word of God. This starts there. This starts there. Which means it's attainable for any man. It's attainable to just have that kind of delight in the Word of God. Because that's where God starts in our lives. The Word of God. Blessed is the man who will listen to His Word and follow that and just do what it says. coming to Jesus, which is simply the start of it all, and then going on from there. Blessed is the man. Now, I wish I could say this is a one-time thing, but it's not, because coming to Jesus Christ in simple faith is the start of a person's walk with the true and living God. And then it goes from after that. Blessed is the man. I try to work to attain to that as well, too. To have that delight in the Word of God. Because that's where it all begins. That's the key. A Christian man's relationship to the Scripture for himself. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word again. Lord, you set the standards, you set the bar. And it's by grace, by the work of your Spirit, that we work our way towards that. Failing, falling back at times, sometimes two steps forward, three steps backward, sometimes three steps forward, two steps backward. Sometimes one step forward, followed by another one step forward. And yet it's all by your grace. So Lord, I pray for the men here, I pray for myself too. That we can be men of your word. But it's not just how much of knowing or Lord, just where this psalm starts, back in the core of our heart to delight. Lord, it's your doing, please. It's your doing. But put within us as men, maybe others too, that kind of desire. Thank you, Lord. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymnal, please.